Look at that. Look what you've done.
Yes.
Look what you've done.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 95 for Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where myself and my friends gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. And joining me tonight is none other than Miss Molly Springer, typing away on her couch.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing great. If you are new to the Citadel Cafe, Molly last joined us on our holiday podcast. And previous to that, geez, it was a long time.
Yeah. Early last year?
Yeah, something like that. So happy to say that it has not been a full year since we've last had you on the show. So how was your Christmas? How were your holidays?
They're really good. Very relaxing. Hung out with my parents for, you know, a week and a half. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's always a nice way to spend the holidays. That's how we spent ours too. I got into it last week on the show, so I won't talk about it at length. I think we're kind of encroaching the last time you can really start to mention, you know, New Year stuff or Christmas and holiday things on podcasts. We're getting into the middle of January, and what's next? Like Valentine's Day or some craziness?
Yeah, totally have a Valentine's Day podcast. You had your holiday, your Christmas, New Year one. Now you can have Valentine's Day one.
I have to have a Valentine's Day podcast. I'm just curious now. I'm going to have to look this up. What day of the week does Valentine's Day fall on?
I don't know.
February 14th, 2014, on the calendar.
Is it a
lands
Friday?
On a Friday. There are going to be some busy restaurants
on God,
Friday.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah, man. Here's an idea, folks. Go out for brunch instead on
yes.
Saturday.
Good idea.
Make the girlfriend a meal, cook something up, and then go out for brunch the next day. That's how that should go. Jeez. Sneaks up with you, man. I can't believe January's half over.
Oh, I know it. It's horrible. I don't... Ugh, 2 weeks in. Man, it's going to be Christmas before I know it again.
Does 2014 feel different to you yet, or is it just another 2 weeks?
It's just another 2 weeks.
Same, yeah. I've had more on the go, which is good. The last year was quiet for me in the fall, so it's nice to have a little bit more on the go on the art table. But beyond that, it's shaping up to be just about the same. Jocelyn and I have been closing some books on... duties that we had taken into our week. I'd say that's probably the one thing that we're changing this year is we're kind of culling the things that we've been putting our time into that we're not getting anything out of anymore. You know, like I've got some personal projects, she has some personal projects, and you just kind of have to say, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore, and focus on some fun things. Because I know that Jocelyn's new podcast, The Angry Chicken, is doing very, very well. So she's decided to devote more time to that. So, and I've got some other things on the go too. So I think 2014 is going to be interesting, to say the least.
It's going to be a very busy year for a lot of people, it sounds like.
It does seem like that. I mean, I guess we should all check in with one another in about 6 weeks and find out how true that is. But yeah, I don't know what it is about the new year. It happens to me in January and it happens to me in September. I get very busy and I get very work oriented. It's a very productive time of year. I think it's probably just, you know, 20 odd years of going to school every September. You know, you grow up with that in your life. So when the winter, or not the winter, when the fall starts to take over the weather and, you know, everybody's back from Christmas, or from, I've got Christmas in the
summer.
Brain. Summer vacation. I'm not in Australia, I swear. It's one of those things that you just kind of kick into gear. And the new year, whether it's, I don't really set resolutions, but I have goals. And I think that that's probably what's helping me push forward this year.
Yeah, I don't usually set resolutions.
Your goal is just to be on the couch every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right?
Exactly. Who wants any other goal besides that?
See, I'm down with that. I can handle that. That's all good. Well, the one thing that I have been doing in the new year that's been driving me crazy is dealing with my ISP and Justin Television. So Justin TV, of course, for anybody listening or watching, is how we stream the show. And I've had tons and tons of issues with not the chat room, because that's a separate thing, but the video feed lag in terms of, you know, how far behind the live stream is. Not so important for the Citadel Cafe, because we have a tight, you know, group of fans that show up and they're pretty patient. But when I'm drawing and stuff like that, and I've got, you know, people asking me questions and stuff on my stream, it's nice to be able to interact with them. And I hear that the same issue is happening on Twitch. And that is a problem, because a lot of people stream games live and they're, you know, trying to interact with the chat room, and the delay is causing a bit of a problem. So hopefully Justin TV will iron that stuff out. If you are experiencing some delays with our feed, etc., then I apologize for the, even though it's not my fault, just bear with us. I'm looking into some other alternatives just to kind of see which one might be the best. I don't want to just, you know, start hopping around. I'm going to try and wait to see if Justin TV can iron some stuff out. So far, so good tonight, but I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket just yet. The ISP stuff, I meant to talk about this last week, but the latter part of 2013 and even again into 2014, I've been on the phone at least once a week with my service provider for my internet package. It's driving me nuts. Do you have bandwidth caps and like internet cable TV packages out there?
We don't seem to have caps, but you usually have to get internet and cable together. Don't have to get phone, of course. My parents don't have that, but
right.
You usually will have to do the cable, excuse me, and phone together.
Right. If you don't mind me asking, do you know what your speed is? To not, like, you don't have a cap. Do you know what your internet speed is?
I have no idea. I know we've just, in my little area here, we just got some sort of fiber, so it's faster.
Oh, nice. Fiber is usually pretty good.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm on the old internet, and the people right next to me are on the new one, because I'm not hooked up to it yet.
Oh, geez.
But hopefully soon I'll be getting that, you know. But no, I don't. It's pretty fast nonetheless, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, that for me, I know that fiber is much faster than what I currently have. Fiber around here is something like 300 megabits down,
mm-hmm.
which is fast. We pay extra on top of our package for 80 megabits down, or we're supposed to get 80 megabits down. The way that it all went down was, originally in the fall, we had an internet surf and talk bundle. So it was our home phone line, which was nominal. It was like $10 plus the internet. And the whole bill was somewhere around $90 plus tax. We were paying an extra a couple dollars to get this internet 80, but we had a bandwidth cap of 250 megabytes or 250 gigs a month. And if you went over, it's $1 a gig. Well, I can tell you that, you know, two professional podcasters, one working from home artist, and two gamers in the house, plus Netflix, you can blow through 250 gigs pretty handily. And you can go well over, you know, without really realizing it. And we also had a real problem trying to track the issues, because we would not really change our habits, but one month we would hit 240, the next month we would hit like 340. And we're just like, whoa, this isn't happening. So we called them up and tried to find a way to have the cap removed. And the only way to remove the cap, for financially sound reasons, was to have cable. So even though we've been cord cutters and proudly touting that fact for the last few years, we actually signed up for cable just before Christmas, because it's only $110 a month and it alleviates the cap, because Eastlink, the service provider, is a cable internet service. So the cable, the phone, and the internet all come in on the same pipe. So when they hook you up to cable TV, they of course cannot cap you, because they want you to have this cable subscription and watch as much TV and see as many ads as, you know, you possibly can. So we now don't watch television, but we have this package that gives us bandwidth, you know, relieves the bandwidth cap. But now our speed has gone through the floor. And we know, because we're paying the extra to maintain that 80 megabits down, 8 up. And I don't think we've seen that since we switched. We had a modem die on us that I had to get replaced. Now, that was free. That was just a matter of walking up to the kiosk at the mall and having them swap it out. But I still have never hit a day where we've been hitting 80 down. Now, they say up to 80 down. But in all of our experiences with the previous package, we had somewhere between 70 and 80 down and somewhere between 6 and 8 up, give or take. But I've been testing it since we switched, and we've only been getting sometimes as little as 10 down
and
as much as like 50 or 60. Neither one is anywhere near 80, you know? And now the upload speed has always been kind of between 6 and 8. So that hasn't changed much. So it's only been the download. So I'm going to have to call them again to talk to them to find out what the issue is and see if they can't have someone come out to the apartment building, which is a pain in the ass, and then I got to call the super, and they've got to make sure that the furnace room is unlocked so they can get into the cable room, and oh my God, it's endless. And the whole time, we've just been paying through our, you know, butts for this service that we can't live without. I mean, my business depends on the internet. I mean, Jocelyn's, you know, hobbies and professional podcasting depend on the internet. You know, it's just crazy how ISPs have everybody, especially in Canada, bent over a barrel with overage charges and packages and saying they do one thing and not doing it. And the only way that I have been able to get any kind of headway with these people is to complain loudly. I mean, I'm polite, but I'm calling them all the time. And it's only because I'm complaining that they're meeting my needs.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
oh, it is.
Like, I had to put that out there. Like, I know that there's everybody out there has got an ISP. I'm sure everybody has got, you know, a similar story. But if you'd like to share it, send us a letter at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, because I'm just curious to know where everybody lands in other city centers around North America, you know, where the bandwidth cap is, if you have one, what the overage charges are. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, a quick refresher, it was 250 gigs. It was $1 a gig if you went over. I'm currently paying an extra $20 to take myself from the standard 20 megabits a second up to 80 megabits a second. And the whole thing right now, including cable for the next 6 months, is costing me $109 plus tax. No, sorry, 109 is the cable package, so it's 130 plus tax because of the extra. But see, this is the thing, I can't even keep it straight in my own head, and it's my own goddamn bill. Like, so 130 plus tax is our high-speed internet cable telephone package. I'm curious to see what else is out there, because, I mean, I've not looked at anything else other than just Bell Alliant and Eastlink, because those are the two major things that are available here in Halifax, Dartmouth. So I'm curious, folks, let me know, because I want to, you know, rattle the cage at Eastlink as hard as I can if they're not going to, you know, meet me, you know, where they're supposed to. So, yeah, that's my rant. How long have you been out, you know, how long have you been doing your own internet stuff? Like, have you always been like, you know, have your parents always had internet, or was that kind of a rude awakening when you struck out on your own?
No, my parents have always had internet, and, you know, I went to college, and of course you get internet there, Wi-Fi, which kind of sucks. Sometimes it's good. And then, I don't know, fourth and fifth year, internet was kind of cutting in and out, so, you know, I had to get used to that. But out here on my own, it was kind of hard to get used to the slower internet, since there was at least 4 of us, and there might be more people up the hill sharing the same connection. So you'd always get buffering. You could watch like a minute of something and buffering. So, but I know. But now that we have the fiber, it seems like a lot of people are on that. So I'm able to use the old connection, and it's working a lot faster. So It's working out a lot better now that we have a new internet connection.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I liked the streaming. Like, I like using Netflix, and I like that Netflix offers some stuff in 1080p with surround sound. Like, that's great. But, you know, like, if you've got a bandwidth cap, I mean, you're going to chew through, especially if it's a television show, like, you're going to chew through that in no time.
Yeah.
You know, like watching one 2-hour movie won't kill you, but like if you're watching some sort of HBO, no, not HBO because they don't put their stuff on Netflix, but like AMC, like Walking Dead, some really high quality production show, you know, you're going to chew through your bandwidth in a heartbeat. But, well, speaking of shows, what have you been watching this week, Molly?
I have been catching up on Justified. I didn't watch it, you know, when it first started coming out, and that was 4 seasons ago,
mm-hmm.
5 seasons. So the last, I don't know, month maybe, I've watched the last 4 seasons. I have the finale of the 4th season to watch, and then I get to start the new season that started a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited. I'm like hooked on it. I could have watched probably all 4 seasons in a weekend if that were possible.
They're so good.
They are.
Yeah, the first season is a little tough to get through, only the first half of it, because it's kind of like, you know, hick crime of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But very quickly it turns into a season-long plot. And they continue that in season 2, 3, and 4, where it's not just one crime. There's just this, it's this ongoing, like, you know, 10 or 13 episode sort of situation where it takes them the whole season to figure out what's going on. And I really like Boyd as a villain.
Yes.
You know, and I say villain loosely because sometimes you don't know what side he's on.
Yeah. One of my friends and I were talking about it because we just watched most of the 4th season over the weekend. And she was saying that she loves Raylan and Boyd's bromance. And I guess it sort of is because they're on the same side sometimes. And they've got this awesome chemistry, but then they're not on the same side.
Yeah. Well, and they grew up together, you know, like they were childhood friends. And, you know, right up, and sounds like right up until about they finished high school when Boyd started to get into some serious law breaking and Raylan was like, nope, not doing that. I'm out.
Yeah. Not going to turn out like my dad.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, man. He's a piece of work.
Yes,
Arlo.
He is.
Oh, man. They've got so many good actors in that series, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really liked the main antagonist from season 2, I think. Mags, was she season two?
2 and 3, or at least part of 3.
Part of 3, yeah. No, she was fantastic.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she had such a duality to her that she really brought a lot to that show. And she's in a comedy now, the actor that played her. I can't remember her name right now. But
yeah, I saw a commercial for that. I kind of did a double take. Is that actually Mag?
I know. She's like smiling and joking around and wearing makeup and stuff. And she's like, wait a minute. I'm not sure if I could watch this show without, you know, thinking about all the crazy things that she did. Do you find that, you know, watching it like we did, we marathoned it. So we went through quite a few seasons in a short period of time. Do you find that you're catching yourself talking at all in a Kentucky accent, or is your inner monologue as you're like doing the dishes or, you know, puttering around the house? Are you starting to talk like the show?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Not alone. It totally happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally happened to me. It's one of the greatest things about that show is the really slow delivery and the way they insult people.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. They're so polite when they're telling someone essentially, fuck you.
But I wish I could talk like that. I wish I had that accent.
Yeah. Oh, they do such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I'm always curious about, of all the characters that are on the show, who would you like to know more about?
Oh. Tim.
Hmm. Ha. We agree.
I love Tim a lot. He's got all these snarky moments, and then he can be real serious when he's getting to that sniper mode.
Yeah.
But you only get a little bit of his backstory. I would love to know a lot more about him.
Yeah, there's a certain mystery, which is good, so you don't need to, I don't want to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to know a little bit more about, you know, how he's going to develop as a character. Or even if he was to just be involved more in the show. Like, mm-hmm. if he was just to be kind of like Raylan's right-hand guy more of the time or something like that. Like, I would really enjoy that, I think.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have him, like you said, Raylan, kind of like a partner with Raylan. Just if he got more screen time. And even if Rachel got a little bit more. Of course, I'd like to see Tim, but Rachel would be kind of cool too to see.
Yeah.
More of her.
Yeah, she's a strong character too. Well, I mean, the whole show is just full of strong characters. Oh, the only I'm trying to remember if there's anybody that I didn't like. I'm not super fond of Raylan's ex-wife.
She can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like there was maybe too much of her in one season, and she was just doing really stupid stuff, and both Joss and I were kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
Might have been season three. Whichever one that her new guy was in, Gary, I think.
Yeah, Gary. I didn't like Gary.
No, I didn't like Gary. And I didn't like the really skeezy southern guy, the Dixie Mafia guy. Real pointy nose.
Wynn Duffy?
Yeah, Duffy. Not a fan of him either.
He's grown on me a little bit, but still not my favorite, for sure. No,
he looks like a turkey in headlights whenever he's on camera. I can't take him seriously because he just looks like he's taking a dump. He's just like...
see that.
it's an odd thing to pick up on, but he looks completely just clenched up the whole time. You feel like shaking him. He's like, loosen up, man! You're on TV! Well, I have had a chance to check out something that is not on, but is soon to be coming to television, and that is the Game of Thrones Season 4 trailer number 1. It's on YouTube. You must have been under a rock on the internet if you have not seen this over the last few days, people. I will take this moment to remind you all that the Citadel Cafe, being such huge fans of the Game of Thrones series, switches over to a new format whenever the new season starts. We do our Winter is Coming season, which is a show devoted entirely to just the Game of Thrones episode that happens that week. So season 4 launches on April 9th. April 4th. 5th? 6th. 9th. I'm going to do math now. Wednesday's 9th, Tuesday's 8th, Monday. Yeah, 6th. So April 6th on a Sunday is when Winter's Coming, Game of Thrones launches on HBO. Winter is Coming, the segment for the Citadel Cafe, will start that Wednesday on April 9th. And it is full of spoilers. So if you don't see the show, wait, watch the show, and then listen to our episode because we will spoil the crap out of it because that's what we do. And I'm excited. The first thing that they show you is a big, big dragon shadow flying over a city, which I wasn't quite sure if it was King's Landing or not. If it's King's Landing, then it's probably like a dream sequence or something, because I don't see the dragons being that big already. And if not, then it's probably some other eastern city that Daenerys is sacking or fighting or doing something of, so... I'm curious to see where they're going to take with it. But have you been following along with Game of Thrones? Are you excited for the new season?
I am very excited. I'm trying to decide if I want to, I probably should, watch the third season before I watch season 4. Just to catch up or remember everything that happened.
Right. You mean rewatch?
Rewatch, yes. Yes,
yeah. We normally do that. You know, a few, sometimes... as long as a month, but sometimes it's only a couple weeks. Jocelyn and I, if she's getting busy at work, a lot of times we'll have pretty simple dinners and we'll just kind of like hang out and do like kind of TV dinner stuff and just kind of watch a TV show and relax and go to bed at the end of the evening. So picking up shows that we've already seen is good because we can always just like, you know, you get too tired through, you know, your second Game of Thrones episode of the evening. You can just kind of pause it and go to bed and pick it up the next day because you've seen it. But yeah, I should probably do the same thing, especially if I'm going to be talking about, you know, each episode on the show. It'd be nice to kind of refresh my memory. The only problem with that is that if I watch season 3 again, that means I have to watch more Ygritte, and I don't want to do that.
You could always fast forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I could try. I don't know. Nothing. And the funny thing is it's got nothing to do with the actress herself, because I've seen her in other things now, and she's good. And it's not her accent, because that's her normal accent. It's just the way that she tries to act tough in Game of Thrones. It doesn't sit well with me at all. It's a very strange delivery And it just kind of, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I'm not sure what it is, but I am really looking forward to how they handle Jaime, Tyrion, and of course Daenerys in season 4. Those are going to be the things that I'm watching very, very closely, because they are my very favorite story arcs from the book at that point. And if anybody's wondering, I believe this is going to be the second half of book 3 from A Song of Ice and Fire. So they're taking it slow. They're slowing the series down so that Mr. Martin can finish his books.
And there's 5 books at the moment?
There is currently 5 published. There is 7 planned.
Okay.
And Jocelyn informed me the other day that the 5th has now come out in paperback.
Oh, sweet.
It wasn't previously. They had to buy a hardcover, and they're just a pain in the ass because they're huge books.
Yes, they are.
Huge, huge books. Oh, man. Well, what else have you been watching? Anything of interest?
Yeah, I watched Don't Trust Andrew Main. It's a new show on A&E. Andrew Main, a magician, writer, podcaster, has a new show, Screwing With People. The first 2 episodes came out on Monday. It's hilarious to watch what he does to people's bikes, people's phones, and then you see the previews, what, like, people's cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a practical joke show?
Kind of, with, like, actual magic, though.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. He took somebody's phone and put it in a plastic bag, then a paper bag, then popped the bag, and somehow the phone is in a jar of pickles.
Oh my God.
Behind him. It's Andrew Main, and they're not gonna, you know, oh, there's wires or anything like that. You know,
yeah.
Like, scenes cut out. It's actual magic. It's amazing to watch. I would never want to give him my phone or my wallet.
But this is the thing. Like, what happens to those people where your phone is in a jar of pickles? I mean, isn't your phone screwed?
No, because the phone is still in a plastic bag.
Oh,
it's
in a plastic bag. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's smart, though. I mean, like, because otherwise you'd have some... I mean, it would be one part amazing, but also like, yeah, dude, that was funny for like 3 seconds until I realized my iPhone was screwed.
Exactly. Now I have to go buy a new iPhone. Well, crap.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious to watch people's reactions, and then he just smiles and walks away or runs away. Just leave it to them to figure out what to do and get their stuff back.
That's good. Do some of these amazing things like, okay, bye.
Exactly.
Walk away. Interesting. I'll have to check that out. Now that I have cable, I can do that.
Hey, perfect.
Hey, yeah, that works out. That works out. One thing I'm not looking forward to is all the commercials.
Yeah.
I can't deal. We're looking forward to the Olympics. That is the one thing that's why we decided to go with the cable package to alleviate the bandwidth, is because we wanted to watch the Olympics. So
that would be so nice to watch in real time.
Yeah, and the Olympics, at least the commercials are not awful in Canada. I mean, there's quite a few of those, like, you know, heartwarming, you know, parents of athletes or special features and stuff like that. So the commercials are at least tolerable.
Mm-hmm.
And the big ones, like the big corporate sponsors, they're always just kind of like, you know, red with B-roll at the beginning of a broadcast. Like, they're not usually interrupting the flow of things. So should be interesting, to say the least. Yesterday, Joss and I took the very last of our stocking stuffer movie money and went out to see The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. And have you seen this?
I have not.
You have not. Okay, well, I will stay away from some spoilers.
Feel free to spoil whatever. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you? Okay,
nope.
Well, all right then. Well, folks, you've been warned. It's been out since mid-December or earlier. So if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to tune out for a little bit. I will say, before you tune out, it's fantastic. Go see it. Like, absolutely go see it. But now I'm going to start spoiling it. It was a blast. It was such a fun movie. I've heard such mixed reviews online of, it's a really good movie about the Silmarillion with some bits from The Hobbit thrown in. Is that good? Is that bad? I don't know. Turns out it's fantastic. I don't know that I'd want to watch three movies on just The Hobbit without any of the extra materials being thrown in there. It's, I guess the pros, Smaug. Oh my God, Smaug. I'll get back to that later. Martin Freeman and his portrayal of Bilbo, and the character really coming into his own, plus the sense of humor that he has, is just phenomenal. All the dwarves, of course, are pretty funny. Some serious performances from a couple of them. I really like, is it Glowin? Or it's Gimli's dad, I think, is the guy that I like. He's really, really cool. No, Balin. It's Balin. He's the old. All the names, they're so similar.
He's the
one with the great big gray beard. He's kind of like the second in command with the dwarves. He's always giving Thorin advice and stuff like that. But I think it's mm-hmm. Balin. He's the one that everybody finds in the Fellowship of the Ring, in his tomb in Moria. So he's the one that they were looking for. But yeah, so he's fantastic. Martin Freeman is really, really good. I mean, all the supporting actors are good. What's his face there? Orlando Bloom is back as Legolas. The new actors they brought in for some of the more prominent characters are also really, really good. There is a really entertaining barrel sequence, which is a famous sequence from The Hobbit, the book, where the dwarves are captured by elves and they have to escape by jumping into barrels and then flowing down the river. And of course it's rapids and all this kind of stuff. And they did some really neat camera work. I'm pretty sure they had some GoPro cameras or something similar on barrels and really did throw them down a river, because it really was one hell of a ride, mm-hmm. during the sequence, you know, and the whole time there's elves and orcs and arrows and swords, and the dwarves are doing all these fun things where, like, you know, elves are standing on their heads to shoot people. And then, you know, one guy jumps out of his barrel or onto the land and knocks down a couple people. And it's kind of like you can't really tell if they're being really cunning warriors or they're just winning by happenstance. You know, it has the same sort of lightheartedness to some of the combat that the first Hobbit did, the Unexpected Journey. So if you like the first one, you'll definitely like this one. Cons, because it's not a perfect movie. Some of the action sequences were really drawn out. It got to the point where you're just kind of like, okay, am I watching a video game or am I watching a movie? And it was a long film, as per most of these Lord of the Rings and Hobbit pieces are. It might have been because we were there late. Like, I mean, the movie didn't start until 8:45, and even then there was a technical error with the projector and they had a delayed start. So the movie probably didn't start until like 9:15 or 9:30, and we didn't get out of the theater until midnight. Yeah. So it was really, 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 really late for us after a long work day. But it did feel like a long movie. Mike O'Day in the chat just said that, you know, he was really surprised at how much he liked Evangeline Lilly's part. She played another elf. And I agree, Mike, that she was fantastic. And the part that they gave her, I feel, was embellished for the movie. Jocelyn has read the book more recently than I have, and she mentioned that she thought there was a female elf guard, but they played it up as kind of like she had certain duties to the elf king. She was a love interest of Legolas, or there was some sort of, you know, romantic tension there. She also had kind of a love story going on with one of the dwarves, which I thought was really interesting, because most elves in this story really dislike dwarves and vice versa. So it was cool to see that. The cool thing that Lord of the Rings and, well, Tolkien, I guess, in general does with his love stories is that they're not necessarily romantic. Like, when you see that this dwarf and elf are really kind of going doe-eyed with one another, you don't necessarily feel like they're, you know, falling in love to get married and have children sort of thing. You just kind of have this whimsical feel of two people that love one another that could end up being best friends or could end up being just like, you know, long-term companions in life or something, especially because elves are immortal. They have some, it's, it has a deeper meaning than just like the surface kind of relationship. And they do a really good job of kind of communicating that without smashing you over the head with it. So I thought that was really, really cool. There is a lot of CG shots in this movie, and some of them are bad. And I mean obvious bad. I understand that a lot of this stuff is expensive, but like, just put the people on horseback and film them. I don't need to see rubber people, you know, I don't need to see cartoon Legolas, you know, on the back of a horse looking nothing at all like a human being or an elf doing some crazy stuff. Like, I'm quite happy to see Orlando Bloom galloping on a horse, pretending to shoot an arrow and like CG the arrow in, sure. But like, just film it. You know, some of the shots were a little bit too fancy for my tastes. And unfortunately, it took me out of it. You know, and that was a problem. Same thing with the king of Lake Town, or whatever he was, the mayor. He was a clown. And forgive me, I don't remember how he was written in the book, but it should have been changed for the movie, because it really detracted from what was otherwise a fairly serious section of the movie. You had this kind of like clownish parliamentary figure, you know, bustling about the city, and just, it really didn't fit at all. But the CG sequences and the story bits that were by far the thing that stole the show was the dealings with Smaug under the mountain. It was incredible. Like, I mean, I've been waiting since I was five to see a dragon realized like this in a movie. It's just breathtaking how well they did it. I mean, have you seen any trailers at all, Molly, for this?
Yeah, I think I've seen all of the trailers that have been out for it.
Right. So you've heard the voice, like you've heard. Yes. Yeah. So it's Benedict Cumberbatch, which I feel like the whole world has got a crush on right now. I've got some artists in my Twitter feed, and I swear to you, I follow them for their art, but I'm borderline unfollowing them because they just never shut up about Cumberbatch. Like, it's a little obsessive.
Yeah, he's amazing, but you don't have to go that far.
He's a great actor. He's phenomenal. But I mean, give me a lady's opinion. Is he a good looking guy? Like, I can't decide.
No, not really.
He's kind of weird looking, isn't he?
Yeah, kind of.
I'm not at all like, I'm trying to think of a good example of who would be, you know, kind of a classical good look. Well, okay, name a Hollywood actor you find attractive.
George Clooney.
Sure. See, I can see how most people could say that he's a handsome man. Like, I get that. But I look at Cumberbatch, I'm just like, he's not unattractive. But his cheekbones and his forehead almost touch. Like, he's so flat in the front. He's got these very blue squinty eyes. I don't know. He's a unique looking individual. But I will never ever doubt his acting chops. He's fantastic. And in this, he's just a voice. I don't know, having not seen any, you know, behind the scenes stuff, whether they did any kind of facial capture for him, and then somehow worked that into the dragon. I don't know. But the facial animation and the stuff on the dragon was all amazing. And I mean, of course, if you've read the book or know the story, Smaug is a character. Like, he talks and he has a personality and he has, you know, all the things that go with any character that's well written in a story. So it's not Jurassic Park. It's not like this mindless T-Rex just going around trying to eat things and everybody running and screaming. There is points where like Smaug could just kill everybody and he doesn't, because he's toying with them, because he enjoys it. There's moments where Bilbo and the dwarves are trying to outsmart him or appeal to his arrogance and make him angry and do something stupid. It's really, really well thought out. And he's huge. I mean, if you think the stuff from Jurassic Park was big, the halls in the dwarf city are just filled whenever he's moving through them. And he's got this kind of like calm, you know, pandering demeanor as he's like hovering over people and speaking as the whole room is shaking with his voice. And when he moves around, unless he's touching stuff, you can't hear him. Like if he's moving fast, he's crashing and smashing everything. But if he's moving like a serpent, it's ridiculous. They've got this giant monster that's not making any noise until you hear it breathe or you hear it and him say something, and he scares the living bejesus out of you. Like, just, it's so well done. Certainly something that you don't want to miss in theaters, because I mean, the sound system in most theaters really do the character justice. It feels enormous whenever they deal with Smaug. So I highly recommend The Hobbit. I hope I haven't spoiled too much for anybody that decided to stay through the whole thing, but definitely go see it. And Molly, don't miss it. Like, I think you'd really like it.
I will have to do that. I couldn't do sitting out for a midnight premiere in 30 degree weather. Couldn't do that. So
no.
I will have to catch it.
No. Well, Tuesday nights here in the city are like matinee prices all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cheap night. So that's why we went. We had like, you know, 12 or 14 bucks left on the movie money. So we went and did that. It was very, very cool. Anything else from you before we leap from the television and film section?
Yeah. Over the weekend, I saw Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh, nice. How was that?
Yeah. It was really good. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of humor in it. There's some sad parts with P.L. Travers, her background, but it makes up for it with all the facial expressions between the music writers and just with Emma Thompson's acting. It was awesome.
Nice. I'm a fan of both Emma Thompson and Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does Tom Hanks do?
I think he did really well. Supposedly, he doesn't look or really act like Walt Disney, but I have no idea. I haven't seen, you know, Walt Disney in old films or anything like that.
I'd say he looks close enough.
Yeah, close enough. A friend and I were trying to figure out who else could be Walt Disney, and we couldn't think of anybody.
Yeah.
But Tom Hanks looks close enough to me.
So. Yeah, the only person that I would think might pull it off is, oh goodness, I can't remember his name right now, but the lead guy from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the right look with the mustache and or goatee.
And, maybe.
I mean, Disney had a mustache, but he also has the acting chops to pull it off, too.
Yeah.
And would, you know, obviously, I mean, not that, you know, other actors don't take the role seriously, but he would, Bryan Cranston, is that it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, no, he's, he would be the first person that comes to mind for me. That's good, because I'm really wanting to see that film as well. Chances are we'll end up renting that on iTunes or if it ever hits like Netflix. We probably won't wait that long, though. I like that kind of thing. And Jocelyn, unfortunately, is not a Tom Hanks fan.
Oh, so bummer.
It might take some convincing. I'm curious to see that movie as well. Cool. I'm glad it was good. Mm. Are there any like other? Is it focuses just on the two of them, or are there any other like side characters that are worth mentioning?
No, it's mostly P.L. Travers and Walt Disney. However, it does flash back quite a bit to Travers' childhood, and her father is in it a lot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that will have to be something on my must-see list when I have an opportunity. Right on. I guess we can just kind of skip right into the Internet Minute because we're running a little bit shy on time. I've got two. One of them is from a founder of this here podcast, Mr. Chad Merlin. I saw this on Facebook and needed to share it with everybody. I'm assuming that you may have come across this, but IO9 posted a series of images that Chewbacca actor Peter Mayhew uploaded from the set of the original series of Star Wars. And a lot of them are just, you know, the actors goofing around. Sometimes they're a little subtle behind the scenes shots. Actors resting, you know, between takes. George Lucas giving instructions. I think it's one of the special effects guys riding a Tauntaun. Like, some of the stuff is really, really well done. And definitely worth checking out if you're a Star Wars fan. They are very, very cool pictures. And I mean, some of them are, I mean, Star Wars came out in what, 79?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. So, I mean, like some of these are pushing 40, 45 years old. And just to see all the work that went into, you know, the film is just really, really neat. And the second pick I have is something with just as much work, if not more. A gentleman over in England has built himself a family home, and it's almost literally a hobbit hole. Simon Dale has produced basically an in-ground home for his family for about $4,700 American dollars. Now, he already owned the land. He didn't have to go buy land because that would be a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But he used a lot of kind of found materials. He didn't cut down any old wood in his area to make the roof. He used like lime plaster because of, you know, the low impact on the environment. There's a whole, you know, kind of string of materials and stuff that he used here. There's a wood stove that does most of the heating. A lot of the interior decor is just like raw branches and wood. You know, there's a composting toilet, there's the garden and all kinds of different stuff. Really elegant use of space. He doesn't have a big family. They've got, you know, wife and two kids sort of thing. He's a professional photographer, but man, what a beautiful, beautiful home that this guy has built. And he did it all himself. Like, he just learned how to do a lot of this stuff and just went out and made the new place. It's such a neat story and some really, really beautiful kind of architecture and art. You know, right from the sod roof down to, you know, like the winding staircase made out of trees, you know, really, really cool stuff. I definitely recommend people check this out. There seems to be, I've seen a lot of these. I've got a couple friends in architecture on Facebook and they seem to post them pretty readily. There seems to be a pretty big trend with people doing these greenhouses or, there's another term for them. I can't remember. It's escaping me right now, but I saw one a little while ago where like an entire wall was made up of cement and beer bottles. And the idea was that the light from the south facing wall would heat up the air inside the beer bottles. And then it heated the room on the inside.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like this, that kind of stuff was just saving these people like thousands of dollars a year in heating expenses and like stuff like that. That's just really, you know, just inventive and environmentally friendly, because they're just, you know, like they just go to the bottle exchange and say, hey, can I have those? You know, like they're just getting recycled anyway. So like, can I repurpose them? The walls in this other place that I was talking about are made up of old tires, which is a huge pollution problem, right? So what they would do is they take the tires and they would cut them in half so that you'd have like two C shapes. And then they would offset them so that the arc of one C would go in the hole of the other. So it makes a fairly wide wall when you start to stack these by bricks, but it also is very warm and insulated once you fill it with straw or whatever else that you're going to use for insulation. And again, there's some really interesting ideas about how to have low impact housing for very little costs.
That's funky.
Yeah. Man, if I find the link, I'll put it in the show notes and share it with you.
If I could, you know, in the future, I was able to build my own house, it'd be awesome to find somebody who could implement all these different ideas, just be totally different from everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you go as far as to say, like, you know, build your own home and just incorporate even 20% or 30% of these ideas into a fairly modern home. Because, I mean, like, some of the sacrifices these people make is that these homes are a lot to maintain. I mean, like, there's a composting toilet, you know, like, you're dealing with gray water systems, you've got your own garden. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you'd have to maintain. But if you're, you know, even if you took, like, some of these things, like the beer bottle wall, for example, would look really cool in a modern home, would serve a function, and could reduce your electricity bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that, yeah, I think could be very, very cool in the long run for, you know, urban housing or just anybody that has a knack for that kind of stuff. So what about you? Anything to share with the listeners this week?
Yeah, I found a short film. It's an animated film from National Film and Television School from a few years ago. But it's about a beaver, and he realizes that some dreams are just too big to make happen. It's really cute. It's gone to quite a few film festivals and even won some awards for it. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Beaver building a dam.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch this before the show, but I'll have to check it out right afterwards. I love the short films and stuff that they put on Vimeo. It's always really fun.
Mm-hmm. I also found some, I don't know, it looks like they're computer animated, though they could be hand drawn, you know, never know, on DeviantArt. It's about badass versions of some of the characters that we love. There's Buzz Lightyear, and you got Shrek, and even Ronald McDonald with a chainsaw. So that one's just kind of creepy, not necessarily badass, but
these are these look like they're digital illustrations, but they're hand drawn. Like it's kind of like a colored version of the stuff that I do with like black and white. It's very comic related. Yeah. The Alice in Wonderland one is great.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. It's kind of along the lines of those Disney princess stuff that I was sharing earlier with, you know, different versions of the princesses and how would they look like in modern clothes or period costume and stuff like that.
Yeah, these seem to be really popular, but they're really cool. Some people have awesome ideas about how to switch it up.
Yeah, there was one, somebody was doing one on DeviantArt, and it was, it's like Ninja Turtles and other kind of famous 80s characters, but they were very cartoony in the 80s, and they were redrawing them as if they were like, you know, modern CG movie monsters. So the turtles looked ridiculously horrid, like they weren't friendly looking at all. It looked like a cross between a human and a turtle in a ninja outfit. You're just like, whoa. Like I don't, you know, everything was taken very literally. There was no creative, there was no decisions made to make the character look appealing. The person was looking very seriously at human anatomy, turtle anatomy, and kind of blending them and seeing what that would look like.
Huh.
And it was gross.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it was not attractive. Not attractive at all. Cool. Well, that's it for this episode of The Citadel Cafe. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. Mr. Mike O'Day and Dave in the chat room. Always fun to have you guys in there. We record the live episode every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on joelduggan.com/live. As I mentioned at the top of the show, sometimes we have issues with Justin TV. If you are experiencing some, please let me know. You can write the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. I'd like some feedback on the live feed if you're around because it helps me improve the situation for your side of things. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course the episode will be available via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, and that is where you can also find the show notes to all the cool things that we have been talking about. Don't forget to check out The Gamers Inn every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. If you're a gamer, tune in, and Jocelyn and Ryan will break down what they've been playing, the latest gaming news, and even talk about some of the interesting things that are happening or issues that have arisen in the gaming world over the week. Visit gamersinpodcast.com or amove.tv/TGI for details. My name is Joel Duggan, and you can find everything that I'm up to online at joelduggan.com. My book, StarCross Volume 1, is available in my web store, as is my brand new commission package. It is a character commission. It's kind of a combo of the black and white con sketch that you see at a lot of conventions and a color print. You get both. You get the original, and then I will digitally color the commission and send you a PDF or a physical print in the mail so that you can frame them together and have some new art for your wall. You can also follow me on Twitter and my Facebook page. Just Joel Duggan is an easy way to find me. So, Molly, where can people find you online if they were to so look?
I'm on Twitter at Molly Springer, and that's it.
And that's Springer with an E, not an I, correct?
Correct.
Correct. You don't want to find Molly Springer. Who wants to listen to her? You want Molly Springer.
Right? I don't know why you'd want to do that.
You have been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
How long is is the delay usually?
The best I've been able to manage is between 10 and 20 seconds.
Wow.
The worst, I think, was either the Christmas episode or last week where there was a good minute to 2 minutes. I'm going to end the stream in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bye. Click.